I have to laugh because as I sat in church last week hearing Paul's message, I thought, oh, he's stolen my message. And he's done it again just now. But you know what? That's not true because God is speaking to us. And he's using Paul, myself, and even other people, even the communion this morning. God is speaking to us, so he wants to get our attention, yeah? So I'm basically not going to go over Paul's message last week, but listen to the podcast because it's a great message, really important as what God is saying to us. But what I wanted to focus on are two main points: that the battlefield of the mind is how the enemy attacks us, and what he does, what messages he's sending into our minds. Yeah. So the first scripture I want to have a look at is 2 Corinthians 10:4. I'm reading from the New King James, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Just before I start, I just wanted to share, you know, the Lord speaking to us, and this morning's praise and worship time, again, was an invitation to us. God loves us, and he wants us to come to him with all of our baggage. Don't hold back, don't step forward, but step backwards, but go forward. He really wants to heal us and deliver us and embrace us and give us the tools that we need to go beyond our experiences or what's happening in our lives now, yeah? So let's read. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to read this again because I really want us to get this into our spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, I'm just going to open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you've showed us your love again toward us. We thank you for your word, for your word is truth, it's life. We thank you that we can use your word to battle against the enemy. And Lord, I just pray that every heart and every ear will be open to receive today what your word says to us and how it encourages us. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So, I don't know if you're aware, church, of what's happening around about us. What I want to really concentrate on is the strongholds in our minds and how the enemy uses those strongholds to keep us in bondage, yeah? Yeah. And he does it, and he does it well. And he deceives us, even when we're sitting in the church, you know, for a long period of time, the enemy can deceive us. But we have the word. We have the word of God, and that enables us to overcome those strongholds. Amen. So this scripture is really real to me because I've battled with strongholds in my life for the last 53 years. It's true. I've been in church for 45 years of my life, but I've been battling with these strongholds, yeah? But God is getting me out of that. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. And I'm guessing that each one of us has their own struggles and their own battles that are going on in your mind. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to kill, steal and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." This is a bold statement, but I'm convinced of this very thing and I am certain of this very thing. And that's been my experience, that the enemy has come and he wanted to destroy my life. I'm just going to read a little bit through my notes, if that's okay. So this warfare that we face starts very, very early on in our life, even from the moment that we are born. So last November, the Lord revealed to me the spirits that I had been waging war against in my life. And those spirits are Jezebel and Leviathan. God would give me dreams about these spirits, but I didn't understand it. So he was revealing something to me, but I didn't know. And many times in the dreams, a spirit was portrayed as a woman, and she was wicked and tormented me. And last year in October, the Lord showed me in a dream what the spirit of Leviathan looked like. And he looked like a dinosaur, you know, ones with a long neck and the big body. Yeah? I think it's called a brontosaurus. So I had this dream after I had an encounter with someone from my past, and the Lord was really telling me that that spirit was in this person. And that spirit was actually controlling me. And when I was in Israel in July this year, whilst I was on the Sea of Galilee, it's an amazing experience, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said that I needed to know and to understand those spirits and how they work in and through people. So even though I had lived under the influence of those spirits, I didn't know and I didn't understand it, but the Lord had to teach me how to be, he had to make me aware of what I was dealing with. So I share this to help you realise that we are living in really in serious times, in perilous times, and the enemy is ramping up his threats against us. We are living in the last days. Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And are we ready for his return? You know, the spirits, unfortunately, are in the church. And they are operating in the church. And that's really, really sad, but that is the truth. We find Jezebel in the book of 1 Kings 16:31. Where King Ahab takes Jezebel as his wife and Ahab begins to worship the pagan god of Baal, as does his wife. Revelation 2:20 and 23, the Lord is speaking to the corrupt church and how they have permitted the self-styled prophetess named Jezebel to lead God's servants into sin. So you can see even by the scripture that she's within the church. She's operating in the church and she's very, very cunning and very, very sly. And she's leading God's people into bondage. Yeah? Just pay attention to what's happening in the church. I'm not talking about this particular church. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ as a whole. And God is ready to expose ministries that are doing the wrong thing. Leviathan is found in the book of Job, chapter 41. And it says, "Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower?" And Job had challenged God in his sovereignty, and he looked upon his righteousness with pride. So Leviathan is a spirit of pride, thinking that he knew better than God. Instead of coming to God with humility of his heart and acknowledge God is sovereign above everything, even in his all of his sufferings. Peter 5:5 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The past 2 years have been the most difficult years of my life, having had a marriage breakdown, and God has needed to do some major work in my life. Who knows, God is a gardener. He prunes us, cuts off the branches that don't produce fruit, and even cuts people out of our life that is not good for us, yeah? But even when we produce fruit, those branches God continues to prune because he wants us to produce more fruit. So, you know, my whole life was turned upside down, a dark place. Very, very dark place. And no one was there for me, but God was there for me. In that very pit where I found myself, God was there. And I came very, very close to giving up my faith because I thought, Lord, how can I overcome this situation? It was just so overwhelming. But God is good. He loves. And he restores and he rebuilds, yeah? Amen. Amen. Look, I'm testifying. I'm standing here today. This is my testimony. God is good. So what's been the turnaround for me is coming to this church. because the word of God is so powerful and so strong in this church. It's been taught. And Paul does an amazing job, and I have respect, and I honour Paul. And doing this study has really taught me that, you know, preachers, pastors, teachers spend a lot of time in the Word, in preparing a message, and they sacrifice a lot. And not only Paul, but also his family sacrifices. And so we need to pray for our pastor and his family because they're right on the front line where the enemy attacks and they cop it. So, yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Okay. So we're reading again or looking at 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. We see that God has given us powerful weapons, spiritual weapons to wage war against strongholds, arguments, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And we can bring these spiritual enemies down to nothing by using the weapons that God has given us. It's important to understand that God has put the scripture in his word because it's relevant and important for us to know that God has given us a way out. He has not left us in the lurch. You know, so what's a stronghold and how does it come and what it is? A stronghold is a way of thinking or a thought that the enemy injects into a person. That individual believes the lies of the enemy and will then start acting on the lie. After a while, what began as a thought becomes a stronghold. More importantly, strongholds are lies by the enemy that you hold true. So I'm just going to give an example of my life and how the enemy came to build those strongholds in my life. And we know that the enemy is a liar and a deceiver. And like I said, he starts from very, very young. So I was rejected at birth because I was the wrong gender. Abandoned by my father. I mean, he left to come to Australia because I was born overseas for a period of time. I was abused, physical, verbal, emotional, and yes, there was sexual abuse by a cousin. You know, my father withheld his love from me. There was turmoil in the home. There was comparison between my brother and sister and all this, you know, done by my father. He mocked me and he ridiculed me. Anger and rage was within my father. It is very volatile temperament. My father told me that my voice held no value, that there was no title, it was worthless. So whatever I had to say wasn't good. I had my tonsils out when I was five, but I was awake, okay? I feared my father, for he was big and strong and I couldn't hide from his torment. And all of these situations happened by the age of five. And I know that each one of us have their own stories to tell. And some of us have experienced much more worse things than what I have. But that's where the enemy starts, yeah? And so he builds up lies in my mind. He's very strategic and he's planned his assault well. So through trauma and rejection and fear, my soul was wounded, you know, and I viewed my Heavenly Father the same way that my father treated me. And that's a lie. Yeah, that's a lie. The battle in my mind has been going on for such a long time. But each year that has gone by, the Lord has been teaching me, growing me, stretching me, healing me, and positioning me for such a time as this. I was thinking of Moses when he fled and went into the wilderness. He attended sheep for 40 years. So what was happening during that time? God was preparing him for delivering Israel out of Egypt. You know, so even though I've been battling with these strongholds, but God was doing a work in my life also. Yeah, so God doesn't waste anything. He uses every opportunity to teach us and to grow us. Yeah. So each one of us has been chosen and called by God. Yeah. We are to be his hands and feet on this earth to bring the good news of the gospel to this lost world. And the enemy will try and destroy what God has planned for us if we allow him to. Yeah. And we all have, and like I said before, we're all living with struggles of our past. People have hurt us greatly. Condemnation and guilt that the enemy keeps whispering in our ear because of the sins that we have done, stuff from our past that we can't get over, and you know, and those strongholds because we believe the lie. But you know, the word of God is slowly, personally, is slowly removing those lies. So it's brick by brick by brick, those lies are being removed as I get more into the word of God, as I continue to follow hard after God. He's changing all of that. So those strongholds are coming down, you know, because of the weapons that God has given to us. So through my father, and I understand now that he was also living and have been afflicted by that same spirit of Jezebel through the hurts and the pains from his father. And it's funny how it goes down to generation to generation. So the enemy uses flesh, so other people, to inflict pain on us, yeah? And that's how he wages war against us. So I grew up believing that, you know, my Heavenly Father was angry with me. He withheld his love for me. I couldn't trust him. I didn't trust my father because he didn't look after me. He beat me up. So God couldn't take care of me. He would reject me. I was worthless. I was damaged. I wasn't important. God didn't want to talk to me. I feared God. I really did literally fear God. And I couldn't come before God because I was afraid that he would abuse me. So isn't that amazing? how the enemy just twists things around. So, okay, the other scripture that I want to look at is Ephesians 6:10-18. Ephesians 6:10-18. So verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And my Bible explains it like this. Finally implies not in conclusion, but rather insofar as the rest of life and its challenges are concerned. So this battle that we're in is forever. It's ongoing. Yeah, it doesn't happen just at the beginning of life, but it's a continuation until the Lord comes, he takes us home, and we, you know, we go to sleep. So we're in this battle whether we like it or not, and we are fighting continuously against those lies, you know. Yeah, it's very true. So let's put on the whole armour of God. Every piece of the armour, we can't leave anything out, yeah? And that we may be able to stand against the wiles. And I thought, what are wiles? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and wiles is entice, devious or cunning stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. And that's the devil. That's the devil himself, isn't it? So we don't fight against flesh and blood, so we're not fighting against other humans, even though the enemy uses other humans to inflict those pains and those hurts in our life, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And so this is like a mishmash of every evil spirit that we can think of in Satan's kingdom. So that's our enemy. That's who we're fighting. We can't see those spirits, but they're there. And like I said, you know, he uses people to inflict that pain. I mean, you only have to turn on the TV to see what's happening around the world and how people are hurting each other, wars, all of that stuff. Yeah, they're real battles, but they happen, you know. They happen in our lives. So we take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So this scripture is one of active involvement. We're told to put on, take up, and to stand against the forces of hell. Not forgetting to be praying and interceding for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, because we're all going through the same thing. And some of us are going through worse things. So let's look at the armour, the belt of truth. Truth is the belt that holds all of our pieces together. It has two parts. The truth of the scripture as opposed to the lies of Satan. John 8:4-4. He is a liar and the father of lies. Verse 32 of John says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. So the word of God is so, so important to deliver us from those lies. What are the great truths of the Bible? The love of God, salvation, faith through Christ, the second coming, forgiveness of sin, grace and power to live for Jesus. Satan would have us believe that we are sinful, lost and without hope, but the truth of God's word sets us free from sin and death. And the second truth is our personal commitment to the truth, to live a life that is upright, transparent and without deceit. So we also have to do our part in that we walk in the truth, not only of the word, but, you know, truth in how we relate to one another. You know, integrity and honesty are vital to our Christian walk. Be a person of your word and keep it, even if it costs you. So have you ever come across people that says, oh, I'll help set up the church, and then when it comes the time, oh, but I've got this on and I've got that on. So they don't keep their word. You know, sometimes there are things that come into our life that we're not able to keep our word, but in everything that we do, we should keep our word. If we say something that we're going to do, then we should do it. That's been my motto. Be a person of your word and keep it even if it costs you. Don't make empty promises. People will soon notice if you are a person that keeps your word. The breastplate of righteousness, it covers the heart and it shields it and other vital organs. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Christ's righteousness protects us against all of Satan's accusations and charges against us. It's not the good things that we do. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not one. So we can't boast. We can't say I'm better than Paul, which I'm not. But you know what? We can't compare ourselves to the next person. It's the righteousness of Jesus which he gave freely when we accepted him as Saviour. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Ephesians 2:8-9 and Philippians 3:9. So you can look at those later on yourselves. It's the righteousness of Christ that covers and protects, not our own righteousness. Our goodness is like filthy rags. Now, I've heard that. I couldn't find that in Scripture. I don't know if it was through a message. But our goodness, nah, it's the Lord's righteousness. The shoes of peace. We need good shoes to wear when we are in the battlefield. Support and grip and endurance is important. The gospel shoes allow us to march wherever the Lord leads us into battle. In 1 John 2:6, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Wherever Jesus sends us, we ought to go preaching the gospel, whether it's to family, friends, work colleagues or neighbours, even in the shopping centres. I've heard people testifying that, you know, they're in the shopping centre, they stop, they pray for someone, they talk to them about the gospel. Wherever it is, at the petrol station, whatever opportunity that arises before you, we can share the gospel with those people. That's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us, you know, because sometimes we're afraid, oh, who's around, who's looking? But we've got to do it. We have to. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So obedience is key to wherever the Lord is sending us to. We have to obey. And that is a challenge. It's scary, you know. When you're out there, in here, it's comfortable. We know people. But when we actually leave and we go out in the world, it can be a scary place. Satan will also try to place many obstacles in our way. But in and through Jesus' strength, we can walk forward following him, obeying him and advancing his gospel. So it's not going to be easy, but we can do it through his strength. The shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, doubts, temptations, accusations, and word curses from others. Our faith keeps us steadfast in following Jesus. We can stand against all that the enemy throws at us because we choose to believe in the one that can deliver us and his word. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Who's suffered persecution? And us. I've suffered persecution for my faith when I've shared it with my work colleagues. Hasn't been easy, but, you know, we just move on. We just continue to do it. And there's, you know, many others around the world that are continuously facing persecution and losing their life. So we haven't come to that stage yet, but it is getting worse for us here too, you know. They're trying to shut us down. They're trying to shut the church down. They're trying to take away our voice, which is what the enemy wants, you know, through all these new laws and stuff that's happening. Faith doesn't come from us. It's a gift of God. We all have a measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. So don't think yourself better than others. As we walk with God, that faith grows and develops until it becomes a shield protecting us and allowing us to live victoriously in Christ. We raise the shield of our faith as we turn aside everything the enemy hurls at us. The helmet of salvation is a vital piece of the armour as it protects our mind and thoughts. When we have the sure knowledge of our salvation, we will not be moved by Satan's deceptions. When we have that certainty of knowing that we are in Christ and our sins are forgiven, we will have peace that is not disturbed. How can we be certain of this very thing? If we have confessed our sin, Jesus is faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And 1 John 5:11-12. So the word is really important. That helps us to not believe those lies. That's why it's important we've got to get into the word. As I said, you know, slowly the Lord is removing that brick, those walls that I have put up against God in my mind are being brought down by the Word of God. As I read it, as I'm in it, as I begin to believe it, and then use it against the enemies. So when he whispers, I recognise his voice now. Yeah? And I can shut him down and say, no, devil, no way, not today. You're not having your way. I don't believe that. That's a lie. And I confess the word of God. Amen. And that builds up my faith even more. Oops. The sword of the Spirit. Here we are. This is the important one. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus used this weapon when Satan tempted him in the wilderness, and every attempt that the enemy made towards Jesus, he was tempting him to fall into sin. Jesus replied, it is written. And Jesus proceeded to quote the right scripture according to what the enemy had said. So it's not any sort of scripture that, you know, the Lord pulled out of the Bible, but it's the specific scripture according to what the enemy had said to Jesus, right? So that's how Jesus defeated the enemy. It's through his word. The word is truth, amen? John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And this is the truth. God's word is so powerful and so important to not only read the word and know it, but to actually know the word and live it and use it. Can I say that again? God's word is so powerful, and it's important not only to read the word and to know it, but to actually know the word. That word is Jesus, to actually know him and to live it and to use it. We are to study the word and become familiar with its truths and power. David wrote in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The sword of God's word both protects us and destroys our enemy, the devil, and his temptations. Prayer. It's not a piece of the armour, but Paul tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Even when we are clothed with the armour of God, you need to bathe it all in prayer. Prayer brings us into communion and fellowship with God so that his armour can protect us. In prayer, the Spirit of God can give us a word of knowledge to help us overcome in the battle. To pray specifically for that situation, to bring encouragement to us with other scriptures or visions or pictures, and so on. Prayer is our communication with our Father who hears us and is willing to answer our prayers through the battle that we are engaged in. Now, I want to also look at praise and worship. Praise is to sing, to tell of, to give or to confess, to declare, to be thankful for all that God has done and all that he is to us. And that's what we did this morning, yeah, as we opened the service. We acknowledge God, we praise him, we thank him for all that he's done in us and through us and in our life. Through the songs we sing or to verbalise the scriptures, reminding God and ourselves of his goodness and all that he has done for us in the past. So during my darkest battles and the deepest of attacks from the enemy that he was unleashing against me, my weapon of defence was praise and worship. I used that because at that time, that's all that I had the faith to believe, and I would run to God with that. So that was my weapon that enabled me to overcome that period or that, you know, time in my life. So I love to worship. I love to linger or praise. I love to linger in that space. And even this morning, it's hard to, for me, hard to get out of that, to stop praising and worshiping God, because it's such a beautiful place to be in his presence. That's where I long to be. That's where my heart is, to sing him the praise that he so deserves. And the other one is worship. You know, the Christian church uses praise and worship, but it's more than just songs. And those songs that I sang became prayers of my heart, that I was crying out to God for, you know, his deliverance or his help during that time. Because of all that God has done for us as we worship him, by honouring him with how we live our daily lives, respecting God in all our ways, how we do things, how we treat people, how we honour and love others, how we read the word, listen and obey the word of the Lord, how we surrender our lives to live for him. That's our worship. We become a living sacrifice. Reading the word but putting that into practice. Yeah, that is our worship of God. Does that make sense? And we become that living sacrifice and a sweet-smelling aroma to God's nostrils when we worship him with how we live our life that pleases him. So God has equipped us for this warfare and battle we face every day. He's not left us as orphans or unprotected from the enemy. He has not forsaken us or left us to defend ourselves, but has given us every weapon that are strong and effective to destroy the enemy, ourselves, through God, because he gives us the power. It's by his spirit, not our own strength. And he's given us his power and authority to do it. So will you take up the challenge today to defeat the enemy with God's weapons? Yeah? Will you bring down those strongholds that are in your mind, the things that you're struggling with? And allow God to, yeah, remove those lies according to his word, according to his scripture. God bless. I hope that's been helpful or informative. But we are facing this spiritual battle every day, and so we need to be armoured up. God bless.